You're listening to episode 151 of the Tell Your Story Better podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tell Your Story Better podcast. My name is Isolde Trachtenberg and I'm super happy you're here. Here is where I explore public speaking, communication, engaging an audience, and finding your voice. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Tell Your Story Better. My name is Isolde Trachtenberg, and I'm thrilled you're here. Here is where we make communication simple so that you can speak to succeed. So much of what happens in our internal and external communication is nonverbal. Body language, vocal inflection, and other factors affect how we say what we say. And yet, the words matter. Boy, do they. They matter a great deal in every conversation. I know that likely sounds kind of ridiculous. Of course words matter. Telling someone they suck is obviously different than telling them they're wonderful. So yeah, word choice matters when you're trying to convey vastly different ideas. For example, if you mean to express love, you can use the word love, adore, admire, and others. If you mean to express hate, you can use detest, deplore, loathe, despise, and also others. So synonyms are fabulous for getting just the right connotation for far-flung emotions or ideas. If something is hard, it can be difficult or arduous. They're similar, but they do have different flavors, if you see what I mean. So another example, arid, parched, and dry, connote something different and different levels of it as well. So, of course, the words we choose in that moment make a huge difference in how we describe things or answer or reply to them. Having said that, there are also differences in whether or not we're talking about a personal, professional, romantic, or internal setting. Likely, we can be more free with our words in a personal setting. We can say things we might not otherwise say to anyone else if we're talking to someone who's known us for years. That knowledge of us can make a huge difference, and how well we know the people we're talking to can make a huge difference as well. The amount of time you've spent together, how much you've shared, how many years, how many events, all of that can make a difference. The other day, I posted a thank you to all the people who've known me forever and love me anyway. I get that I'm not the easiest person, and so when someone loves me regardless of my flaws or faux pas, it's a wonderful feeling. Personal relationships allow for more room and more freedom to express ourselves freely. Romantic relationships can also allow for a great deal of freedom, particularly if you've known each other for a long time. Then again, if it's a new romance, you do want to be careful of your words until you know your romantic partner well enough to know and to be less deliberate in what you say. Now, I'm not saying that you should ever be disingenuous. Rather, I'm saying that more carefree speech might need to wait until you know each other better and know one another's boundaries. Just look at the waiting period until one or the other person uses the L word. Expressing love is wonderful and important, but there is a huge expectation and weight to the word in a new romantic relationship. So, who will say it first? Who will mean it for real as opposed to saying it in the heat of a passionate moment? What kind of love is it? What if one partner feels a romantic passion for the ages, but the other is moving towards a more deep, friend-oriented sort of love? Then, the word becomes problematic and murky instead of being the celebration we'd like it to be. And we don't have too many other words to describe the emotion, so we keep being stuck with that one word having to wear many hats. That can cause all sorts of problems. Just watch any rom-com where the best friend has been in love with the lead for years and they treat each other like a happily married couple. They might even exchange the L word, and for one, it's an expression of deep affection, while for the other, the earth moves every single time. Let's face it, that one little word is fraught with dozens of meanings, and you need to use it just as carefully with people you know as with people you're just getting to know. In professional settings, you'll need to be more careful still. Certainly, we don't go throwing the L word around at work unless we're saying we love the new coffee someone brought in. But we have to take lots of care with the words we do choose to use when relating to coworkers, bosses, and staff members. If you're a boss and you're doing some sort of review, the words you choose will reflect on your opinion of your staffer. If you want to encourage the person to improve, you'll need to use optimistic language. If there are issues that need to be addressed, you might decide to use more stern language or words. Regardless, you'll want to be direct and as uncomplicated as possible. You don't want to get into a situation where you leave things up to interpretation. The more clarity you can leave your staffer with, the better. So, if you see something as a challenge in the way they're trying to achieve their goals, you'll need to address it as a goal to meet or a challenge to rise to, rather than a screw-up to be fixed. If you're a staff member and you're talking to your boss, you also need to be careful with your words. Now, I'm not saying you need to be in entreaty or be a supplicant of any kind, but you do need to look at how you use the words you have. Again, if you are talking to someone about, say, wanting a raise, you need to give the reasons you deserve a raise. And, of course, you need to have done things to deserve a raise so that when you're giving your cred, when you're giving the support for what constitutes deserving the raise, they'll be much more likely to give it to you. You still also want to look at the up versus the down of any situation. And here's what I mean by that. In previous episodes, I've talked about the idea of on the surface versus underwater aspects of motivation and self-talk. I'll put the link to the episode in the show notes. Words that bring out the on top of the water connotation will encourage the other person to look up and try to improve. The words that focus on the down or the underwater aspect will discourage the person on their ability to resolve the issue. Here's an example. The words challenge versus problem. A challenge is one you can rise to. It's something you can look at with a competitive eye. It's not a judgment on your ability until you've tested yourself against it. On the other hand, a problem focuses on something being already wrong and needing to be fixed. You're not trying to better yourself when you're fixing a problem. You're trying to get yourself out of some sort of pickle. The same exact thing goes for the dreaded word, why. Why connotes some sort of justification. The second someone asks a question starting with the word, why, the other person has to somehow defend or justify their position. The word why creates a scenario where someone has to defend themselves. They have to give justification for why they did what they did or said what they said. The why question is most often answered with a because, and the second you do that, you're defending your stance. Instead of giving reasons, you're often giving excuses. X happened because of Y. You might also be doing it for a factual reason. A great example of that is that great old chestnut, why is the sky blue? A good answer might be, the sky's blue because the particles in our atmosphere scatter more blue light than the other colors in the visible spectrum. So while the other colors get absorbed, more blue light is reflected into our eyes. Great question and fine answer. I'm not trying to defend or justify anything with my answer. Rather, I'm giving a factual reason for why the sky's blue. The facts of that reside outside of me and my thought process. However, if someone asks a why question about your individual ideas, processes, or thoughts, then it's your opinion, stance, or emotion that you have to justify. Let's look at this example. A teenager gets home 2 hours after curfew. The parent asks, why are you late? That prompts a defense of the teen's actions because it feels like an accusation, almost as if the only factors that might have contributed to the teen being tardy were ones they could have controlled. If the questions were to be asked as, what caused you to be late, or what were the reasons you're late, it doesn't sound quite as much as a, you'd better justify things to me, sort of thing. In fact, why often will give you more of a nudge to be less than truthful, because instead of being able to state the facts of what were the reasons, you feel like you have to defend yourself, and then you have to find a good reason, not necessarily even a factual one, but a, quote, good, unquote, one. Another great example is what we say when someone walks into the room with their arm in a cast. One way to ask is, oh no, what happened? Another one is, oh no, what did you do to yourself? You've probably heard and even said variations on both of these. For the moment, though, can you take a second and see how the two different questions might make you feel? One implies no fault and that anything might have happened, but the other one definitely implies that the person was somehow at fault for what occurred. And even if they are at fault, it might not be the best thing to do to press the point home in the moment while they're likely in pain. The words we use will affect our listeners in either positive or negative ways. And if we want to convey positive, encouraging, or inspirational emotions or messages, we need to use the words that'll do that. The same holds true for our internal conversations, the ones we have with ourselves. We believe what we hear most often, and we definitely hear what we tell ourselves. When we talk to ourselves with language that is defeating, we focus on the negative or that underwater aspect of what we say. Just like conversations with others, if we use words that imply blame or guilt, we'll eventually feel blamed or guilty and terrible when we're the ones blaming ourselves. If we use pessimistic words, eventually, our mindset will shift towards pessimism. So, if you have a problem to solve, can you look at it more as a fun challenge than a dire need? Can you look at preparation as an investment in your future rather than anxiety that you don't know your stuff well enough? How can you change the story you're telling yourself to improve the story you're hearing? The more upward-looking your words, the more upward-looking your mindset will become. Conversely, if your internal story is one of dire warnings and consequences, how can your mind not go in that same direction? Even slogans do the same thing. My husband and I were just discussing the Nike swoosh. We no longer have to even say the "just do it" tagline. If we see the swoosh, the tagline pops up unbidden. Just do it. Isn't it a great call to action? Don't wait, don't delay, don't make excuses. Just do it. Another one like that is L'Oreal's Because You're Worth It. It tells you everything in the space of a few words. It allows you to feel like you deserve the good stuff. And you know what? You do. So here's a question. Have you ever used the taglines on yourself? I have. I've done Nike's Just Do It to motivate myself to go exercise. I've also used the You've Got This and the I Can Do This. I try to pay close attention to the words and phrases I let creep into my thought bank. I watch for negative statements and assertions. By the way, I'm not saying that I never think negative thoughts or am unrealistic. I try to maintain a sense of realism in my thought processes and my emotional responses. And if I assess something as having negative connotations or side effects, I'll flag them as challenges to be met, or at the very least, I'll try. See, I try not to look at them as problems to be solved, because to me, each new issue is a challenge or perhaps an obstacle or hurdle to be overcome or jumped over. I know we all can get into a place where we start looking at things as problems or on the underwater side, but to me, the way to try to get better is to keep striving for that on top of the water viewpoint. I try to look at these issues as calls to action. I get to do something about them. I get to meet the challenge or rise to the occasion rather than trying to do damage control. Can you hear the difference between them? More importantly, can you feel the difference? On the one hand, you can rise to the occasion. On the other hand, you can do damage control. Which would you rather take on? And that's the point, isn't it? It's all about which we'd rather take on. I would rather rise to the occasion than put out yet another fire. The story you tell yourself gives you the narrative. You get to choose it with every thought and with every word. If you take control of that narrative, you'll change how you view your insides and eventually your outside and the entire world. Words change. Words heal. They can certainly wound. And we can wound one another, or we can heal one another. We can hinder, or we can help. The same, by necessity, goes for our relationship with ourselves. If we use words that uplift us, we'll live in a higher state. If we use words that denigrate us, we will find ourselves in the dumps. And it doesn't take a huge shift. Even a tiny one can make a big difference. One small word, problem to challenge, can start the ball rolling. And eventually, that can change everything. So, I'd love to hear from you. What sort of internal language are you using on yourself? Pay attention for the next few days. Are you saying problem or challenge? Do you have plans of action, or are you barely keeping up? The way you say this stuff to yourself makes a huge difference in your life, and the way you say it to others will make a huge difference in their lives and in your relationships. And eventually, it'll change everything. So what do you think? Do you think it's something you already do? Or is it something you'd like to try? I'd love to know. Comment and let me know how you do it. And please, share this with a friend. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to spend some with me. I want you to know that it means the world to me that you're here, and I send you all of my love. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. I hope you had as terrific a time as I did. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and please tell your friends about the community we're building here. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright Isolde Trachtenberg 2018. Today's music was from Kevin MacLeod, Laser Groove, and Ave Marimba, brought to you by Creative Commons License 3.0. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, I send you all of my love.